the government coming? We need gasoline. With gasoline, you're going to bring food and gasoline and clothes and gasoline to run generators. Bring us generators. Bring us something to get heat. We're going to die if we get killed with the weather. We're going to die. We're going to freeze. We have no cars. President Obama, please listen to us down here. We are going to die. You don't understand. You've got to get your trucks here on this corner.
Buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, water filters, bug-out bags, and first aid kits. Use coupon code PREPPERRECON for 5% off your entire order at CampingSurvival.com.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. $89 includes shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the second half of my guest appearance on View from the Bunker with Derek Gilbert. Enjoy the show.
You're echoing things that I've heard in recent weeks from the likes of Chuck Missler and Carl Gallops regarding a judgment event on the way. In fact, Chuck was very direct and tied it to the abortion issue, as you did, saying that it's shocking, but the most dangerous place for an American today is not Ramadi. It's not the streets of Chicago. It is in the mother's womb. 1 in 5 chance that an unborn American child will die by her mother's choice or his mother's choice before he or she is born. In New York City, the odds are even worse, especially for African-American babies. More than 50%, more than half the African-American children in the womb in New York City will die before birth. And that is just astonishing. I'm just reminded of the verse, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." And when he does, it's not going to be pretty. The changes in the markets, the economic difficulties that we've seen over the past few years, since about 2007, 2008, we've never really gone away. We've never really climbed out of that recession. The government says that unemployment most recent month was 5.1%, which the Federal Reserve considers full employment. You can only laugh at that. Talking about preparation, as we are, even though it's getting toward the end of it, we are in the middle of National Preparedness Month. As you say, there will be a time, Mark, when we will go over the cliff instead of coming down off the cliff. Cooler heads won't prevail. How do we as Christians get ready for that type of an event?
Well, you start with yourself because you're your number one survival tool. You know, there's so many people that have got bunkers full of food and water and guns and ammo, and they can't get up off the couch. So you gotta get some exercise. You gotta get your heart going. You know, try to do something to get your heart rate up for at least 30 minutes a day, whether it's a brisk walk or a jog, or if you got bad knees, join a gym and do an elliptical glider, which is so much easier on the joints than running or jogging. Swimming's great. That works just about every muscle in your body. Get your heart rate going, and it's very, very low impact on your joints. And of course, before all of that, it's spiritual preparedness. You know, every 10 out of 10 people die, and you're going to meet your maker someday, no matter how many beans, bullets, and band-aids you have. That day is going to come. So you want to make sure that you're right with God, and that you've accepted the blood of Christ to cover and get rid of the sin that's going to stop you from being able to get into the kingdom. And so that's the number one thing. And then after that, then you've got the physical training, and then mental. You know, learn as much as you can about skills and how to be more resourceful, because skills weigh nothing. You can always take those with you anywhere you go, and nobody can steal them from you. So that's your first step, is yourself taking care of your mental, physical, and spiritual preparedness. The next thing you want to do, we're still not getting into the beans, bullets, and band-aids of it yet. The next thing you want to do is get on a budget, because more than likely our next crisis is going to be financial in nature. And in the last Great Recession, which you just mentioned, you know, we still haven't really come out of it. You know, we've got 5.5% in unemployment, but there's 94 million people of working age that are not in the labor force right now. So that's how we get that fake number, is by not counting that 94 million people, which is close to a third of the population of America.
That's right.
And so for them, the financial crisis is still going on, because there's not 94 million people in America that retired early because things were just so prosperous and they'd made so much money in the past 8 years that they could just drop out and stay home. A lot of those people are students that have got huge student loan debt that, you know, they can't find a job that's worth triggering their debt repayment. So yeah, they just stay in mom's basement and play video games until something better comes along. And they've never entered the workforce. So they can't be counted as unemployment because they've never been employed. Mm-hmm. And lots of kids that are coming out of high school that, you know, they can't get the McDonald's job anymore because, you know, there's a guy with a Bachelor of Arts flipping burgers. So, it's really, really bad. And you need to be ready for that personal stuff hits the fan moment by being financially prepared yourself, and being on a budget's the best way to do that, and putting aside emergency fund. And if you're living on a budget and you're saving money towards an emergency fund and stuff goes bad, you've already got a reduced standard of living because a portion of your money that you were making was already going to your emergency fund. So, right, and your savings. So it's going to be less of an impact on you. You know, if you're already not spending $5 a day on mocha chocolate lattes or whatever, you're gonna feel less of a crunch when you have to tighten your belt. If your hours get cut, or if you have to take a lower paying job, or whatever the case happens to be, or you get laid off completely and you have to start living on that emergency fund that you've been putting to the side, you're gonna be more well adjusted for it. After that, then you can start thinking about the stuff that we typically start thinking of as being survival preparedness stuff. That the first thing I would say to do is put together a bug out bag, something that will sustain life for 72 hours. And you're not jump starting society, so keep it light, keep it simple. You need some way to purify water. You need 3 days worth of food in there. You need maybe a jacket and a change of socks, t-shirt, and underwear. A good cutting tool, perhaps a good multi-tool, some type of shelter. People put a lot of stuff in their bug out bags, and you know, if you're in a northern climate, you need some type of shelter in there. You need, and I recommend like a space blanket, not the little Mylar thing that looks like a piece of aluminum foil, but a real space blanket, which, you know, you'll know the difference because they cost a little more. The real space blanket's around $15, and those little Mylar things are about $1. So get the real space blanket, which will conserve body heat, and it's got a reflective side, and usually a colored side. And then some type of shelter, either a tarp. And if you're going to get a tarp, you need to really be sure that you know how to construct a shelter out of a tarp. But I would recommend a small tent, and get something that's small. It's just enough to keep you out of the elements, because the survival rule of threes says you can make it for about 3 minutes without air, only about 3 hours without shelter in bad conditions, because you get hypothermia, and that takes a lot of people out. So you have to have some type of shelter, and then three days without water. So that's why you want to have that water purification, and about 3 weeks without food. So food's actually kind of farther down the list of needs than shelter and water. Are so
And I'm actually prepping for that in sort of a very economical way. I'm just carrying it around with me the extra, you know, week or two. So I'm probably good for about 28 days.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a little extra myself that I've been trying to take care of lately.
Well, let me ask you a practical question of purifying water. I mean, it's good to say, okay, you need some means of purifying water, but how do we do that? I mean, I was born and raised in Chicago. For me, water comes out of the tap, you know. I don't know from one water source to another. I have no clue. So what would I carry in a bug-out bag to purify water that I find in a hole or a pond or something if we're having to rough it?
Katahdin makes a really good handheld filter, pump filter. They make one that's called the Hiker Pro, and it's about it's less than $100. It's about $75, and it'll purify about 500-800 gallons. They've got another one for about $250 that will purify several thousand gallons without changing the filter. But for a bug out bag, because like I said, you're not trying to restart society. You just want to survive for 3 days. That's the goal of that bag. And I think the Hiker Pro is perfect for that, because it's not quite as expensive as the higher price model, and it'll do what it needs to do. If that's too much, you know, just keep, you can get the tablets, the purification tablets. You can get those on Amazon or wherever, and you can drop those in, but they've got kind of a funny taste, and you know, it's not really going to take out the sediment, and it's not going to take out a lot of the stuff. It'll make it safe to drink, but it won't make it taste good. The Katahdin hand pump Hiker Pro, that's going to pump out something out of a stream or a pond or whatever the water source you can find, and it's going to make pure, clean, clear water. And of course, pre-filtering that to the best of your ability is going to make your filter last longer.
Okay, so don't scoop up the mud off the bottom if you can help it.
Just right.
Stick it in the clear part of the water and then pump it through the filter.
Yeah.
So 3 days worth of food. Given that you're trying to travel light, what would you recommend for 72 hours worth of food?
For the bug out bag, I don't think MREs are a bad choice. They're a little bit more expensive, and I don't stock up MREs for my long-term storage food for my house, but that's what I keep in my bug out bag. And that's the only thing I buy MREs for, because they are pretty expensive, but they're very handy. You don't have to worry about rotating them out every year, because they last quite a long time. If you're looking for a cheaper way to stock up a bug out bag with a few things that'll just keep you alive, you know, granola bars are great, but you know, their expiration date's usually a year or two out, and they won't go bad, but they start to fall apart and they start to lose part of their texture and their flavor after their expiration date. Another good thing that's cheap to put in a bug out bag is like Chef Boyardee stuff, like SpaghettiOs Boyardee raviolis. And make sure that you don't get the pull tops. Because the pull tops, they're perforated, and they don't have quite as good of a seal as just the regular can that you have to open with a can opener. So now you want to make sure you got a can opener in your bag,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes.
Probably two, in case one breaks or you lose one or you can't find one. So that's one of those good things, especially if that's your only food source. You want to have two ways to open it.
Yeah, opening a can with an axe takes a real skill.
It sure does. but the Chef Boyardee's, they got a lot of fat, they got a lot of carbs, they got a lot of carbohydrates, which in a normal situation is not really what you're looking for. But in a survival situation, that's getting the most bang for your buck. That's getting a lot of calories, a lot of energy in a small space that doesn't take up a lot of weight.
And the cutting tool. Now, are you talking about an axe here? Your axe or saw or some sort of multi-tool that can serve a number of functions?
Yeah, I really like for folks to have a good multi-tool. Of course, Leatherman, they make the Cadillacs, but Gerber makes a really good, reliable multi-tool as well. And you just want to make sure you've got all the basics on there. You've got the pliers and wire cutters and a knife and a little saw and a regular screwdriver and Phillips head. You know, it doesn't have to be super fancy. And Gerber's, for their price, you know, they're usually around, you can get a good one for around $30 or $40. They're very, very reliable. Whereas if you get one from the dollar store, it's going to fall apart the next day.
It's time for a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proved to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on silver and gold.
All long-term storage food is not created equal. Folks who have been prepping for a while will tell you there's a long-term storage food that you can eat if you have to, and long-term storage food that you love to eat. The apocalypse will be tough enough. Buy high-quality foods that you'll love to eat from Valley Food Storage at valleyfoodstorage.com.
Just for some basics, one of the comments that we've had, and I think we're going to look to do this next year at Skywatch TV, people asking about where to start, because it sounds like an overwhelming task. Okay, it's all well and good for Mark Goodwin to tell me all of this stuff. He's got his own website and he's built up this whole thing and he's got all of the stuff that he could ever need. I've got nothing. And when people start looking at what they would need for a bug out bag or for long-term stored food for themselves, it's almost like people who find themselves in a house that's cluttered and they don't know where to start with the decluttering. And so the clutter just grows and grows and grows and never gets fixed. It's almost that daunting when looking at how do we begin prepping, especially if we're on a budget. There's so much that we need to get. I don't know where to start. And so I never start. What would you recommend as a first step for somebody beginning the process?
Yeah, well, we started with, personal preparedness and the spiritual preparedness. You know, Jesus paid the price for that. So that's free to us.
Okay, I can check that one off my box. Okay.
Yeah, and then the physical preparedness, you can, you know, it doesn't cost anything to get out and walk. It doesn't cost anything to do push-ups. Most people have internet. If they're listening to you, they've got some type of internet access. You can go on YouTube. You can watch some cardio kickboxing classes, and that'll take care of your cardio, and it'll take care of some of your self-defense side as well. Your budget, that's actually going to save you money. Start clipping coupons, and my wife keeps the coupon corner page up on PrepperRecon.com. And wow, that's got a lot of great tips for couponing. And we, you know, when we first started out, we were on a really, really tight budget, but we kept on that tight budget. And she stocked up our pantry to the point that we had 6 months worth of storage food without spending any extra money besides just what we have for our regular grocery budget through couponing and a lot of buy one, get one free deals and manufacturer coupons paired with store coupons paired with buy one, get one free deals. And we really, really stocked up for absolutely no extra money whatsoever. If you want to jump start your long-term food storage plan, the cheapest way to do that is beans and rice. Of course, you have to eat beans and rice. If you're buying stuff that you don't know how to cook and you don't eat, it's not really going to do any good. But we just recently moved out of South Florida, and that's a big staple in South Florida is beans and rice. And I love beans and rice. I love black beans and white beans and red beans, and beans. I love rice. Yeah. And rice, you can get a 20-pound bag of rice at Walmart for $8.50. You can get the dollar store has pounds of beans for a dollar, but then Walmart also has they've got beans they start around $1.16 for the black beans and red beans, and they go up to maybe $1.50 a pound for some of the other beans. But rice will store for 20 years, the white rice. You don't want to get the brown rice. It's the best for you, the brown rice, but only buy the amount of brown rice that you're going to eat in a year, because it's still got the bran on it. It's got the fatty acids in there, and that will go rancid. Whereas the white rice will store for 20 years. And then your beans will store anywhere from 5 to 10 years, depending on the type and how you're storing them. And one of the easiest way to store them is to go to Home Depot, buy a bucket, just throw the whole bag of rice right in that bucket, and cap it off with a lid. Put 10 pounds of you can probably fit about 10 pounds of beans in there, or 8 pounds if you want to throw in a thing of salt and a thing of baking soda, which I would recommend putting in that bucket, and then cap that off. And that's good to store for at least 5 years if you've got it out in the garage in the heat with the beans in it. So it'll cost you $28 for the 20-pound bag of rice, and then a dollar or two for 8 pounds of beans each. So now we're at like $16. A thing of salt's 50 cents, and a thing of baking soda's 50 cents. So for $17, you've got about 2 or 3 weeks worth of food in that bucket, and you cap that off, and you don't have to worry about it. And now you can just keep stacking those things up in an empty corner in your garage. And one of the reasons I said to put baking soda in there is because when you're going to have to cook all of this stuff, and if you're in a grid down situation, you know, fuel might be hard to come by, even if you're, you know, chopping wood or whatever. And right. if you put a tablespoon of baking soda in your beans the night before when you soak them, you'll cut your cook time in half on those dried beans. Oh. And it also makes them more digestible for folks that have trouble digesting beans. And and baking soda's got a lot of uses. You can brush your teeth with it. You can use it yes. for deodorant. You can wash your hair with it. So that's just a great thing to stock anyway. But it's a great, great reason to have it in that bucket with your beans, with your rice, with your salt. And you don't want to put your salt in your beans until after they're finished cooking, because that will slow down the cooking time. And you know, resources is going to be a big thing. Cooking in the apocalypse is going to send up smoke. So you're going to be giving the smoke signals. Hey, I've got food. Hey, I've got a fire. Hey, there's people over here. Yeah. One of the ways you can address that, and it's a little bit more expensive, but a sun oven. Now, they've got directions online where you can build your own sun oven, but the professionally manufactured ones are much, much more efficient. But, you know, we cooked an entire meal of chicken, beans, and rice in a solar oven in a matter of about 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, I just saw the link to that on your website there, prepperrecon.com, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes, of course, at vftb.net. That is really intriguing, and that's a good point too, because if things do go bad, and this is a point that Carl Gallup's addressed, and of course his new book Be Thou Prepared is all about the need to prepare, not just for a situation where you can't get to the store, but also situations of social unrest, which can be triggered by a number of things, an economic collapse, but also something like Hurricane Katrina, which you mentioned, Mark, and if you are a little too open about advertising that you've got stuff, you may attract people that you hadn't planned on serving. One of the reasons, of course, that we prepare is so that we've got extra to share with those in need during a time of crisis. But sometimes people will just invite themselves and decide to help themselves if they are able. One of the comments that we received after the Carl Gallup's interviews was, look, I don't need to prepare because I know we're going to be raptured out of here before things get really bad. I know what Carl said to that comment, how he addressed it. Mark, how would you address that sentiment?
Well, it didn't work out for Kim Davis, did it? She spent 6 days without work. It didn't work out for Aaron Klein and his wife out in Oregon. They lost their job. They lost their business. I had Aaron on the show shortly after Sweet Cakes went out of business because they were sued out of business for not baking the cake for the homosexual couple. And he is somewhat self-sufficient. He's got a little micro farm. He grows food. He's got animals on there, but he's got a whole bunch of kids that he has to provide for. And, you know, he had to go back. He had to take a job on a garbage truck. You know, what are you going to do when you're sued out of business, when you get canned from your job, because you won't sign, some form that basically rubber stamps homosexual marriages. You know, it didn't work out. Those people didn't get raptured. The people in Louisiana after Katrina, they didn't get raptured. Right. The people in New York after Hurricane Sandy, you know, very affluent people digging through dumpsters because they didn't listen. They didn't listen to the government's call to either evacuate or get prepared. Mm-hmm. We're digging through dumpsters looking for food, and they didn't get raptured.
That's exactly the point. Jesus will come in his own good time, but until that day, there will still be earthquakes, there will still be tornadoes, there will still be hurricanes that have nothing whatsoever to do with social unrest, or the timing of the apocalypse. Just being prepared, as Carl Gallup's discussed, for any eventuality allowed him and his family to be of help to others in need after Hurricane Ike. It was Ivan. Ivan was the one that did the kind of loop-de-loop. It crossed Florida, went up, and then crossed Florida again, and went into the Gulf of Mexico. What are you going to do when things are the rug is pulled out from underneath you? Well, that's where Josh Tolley's book, Evangelpreneur, which offended some people, because you're combining the words evangelize and entrepreneur. just being prepared to be flexible and find a way to provide for your family, which is a biblical command.
The Bible tells us to work hard with our hands so that we'll have something to share with others.
Exactly.
You know?
Right.
So poverty doesn't really allow you to do that. So taking a vow of poverty and thinking that you're doing the Lord's will by being poor, there's certain commands you're not going to be able to fulfill if that's your outlet.
Yeah. Coming back around to your book and the series, The Days of Noah, the new book three, Perdition. Mark, what do you hope the takeaway is for readers of those novels?
Well, without giving too much of a spoiler, the Days of Noah was written. The entire trilogy was written as the sort of it leads up to the rapture, and because there's been books written about what does the earth look like after the day after the rapture happens,
right?
But there's no books that have really been written about what does the world look like the day before the rapture. And so that's what I wanted to do. And I wanted to, I've kind of taken a little bit of what you said about being a pan-tribist to where I think it'll all pan out. I'm not sure exactly when Jesus is going to come back as far as the timeline. But I wrote this from a pre-tribulation viewpoint, it's actually sort of a hybrid pre-wrath viewpoint, I guess is what you would probably call it. But what I wanted to do is show people exactly how bad it could get in America before the return of Christ and still hold to something of a sort of a pre-wrath, pre-trib type eschatological viewpoint. And another thing I wanted to do is, as in all my books, I like to provide some good, clean Christian entertainment. And because there's not a lot of that out there. The movies and Hollywood and everything's got an agenda. Everything's so much propaganda, and part of that propaganda is to just fill your mind and your head with filth, and you know, it's a garbage in, garbage out, and the Christian church is so willing and so ready to compromise and to go see movies where God's name's used in vain, and there's so much just borderline pornography in the movies and even just the television shows where God's name's used in vain and F-bombs and everything else. And there's not a whole lot of good choices for Christian entertainment. So I wanted to provide that, put a good message in there, provide some good action that you pointed out at the beginning of the show. There's some action in this one. But for the ladies also, there's a lot of connectivity between the characters as well. So I get a lot of female, I probably have more female readers than male readers, which kind of surprised me in my first series in the Economic Collapse Chronicles. I guess the ladies like it too. So, so there's a lot in there for them as well. But like you said, there is some action and I wanted it to be entertaining and I wanted to provide that. But then I also wanted to put some good prepper tips in all of my books as well. So I always try to sneak in some stuff in there to where you think about what's this character doing? What's the situation he's in? How would I handle it if I was in Noah's situation right now, or if I was in Cassie's situation right now, how would I handle that? Am I equipped to handle that situation? Do I have the skills I need to get through this predicament? Do I have the preps that I would need to survive such a situation?
And often, as we've seen with books like Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons and The Lost Symbol, you can influence people on a deeper level sometimes with fiction than you can with works of nonfiction. I deeply appreciate the work of people like, I keep using his name, this is no surprise, Dr. Michael Heiser, others who are writing works of nonfiction that are scholarly works of theology. But the fact is, most average folk out there aren't going to read it. Or if they read it, they're just not going to get it because they're coming from a different place. That's fine. It doesn't make them bad people. But you get it in a good story. And even those of us who enjoy reading a good theological work get caught up in a story. And as Dan Brown showed, I mean, you know, suddenly a flood of people showing up at, say, Roslyn Chapel in Scotland looking for the Holy Grail based on a work of fiction. Because for some reason, fiction affects us at a deeper level than works of nonfiction. We're less skeptical, and especially if we care about the characters, which you do in The Days of Noah, you care about what they're doing, you're kind of paying attention to what's going on, and you're going to absorb stuff that you might not if it was just a dry, you know, here is a book on preparedness by Mark Goodwin. So I think it's a very intelligent way of getting that out there. You've also got some theological stuff out there, and also some very insightful political observations about things that have taken place and are taking place in America today. So very well written, and again, a very exciting read. The Days of Noah, books 1 through 3, now available. Where's the best place for people to go if they want to get a copy of the book, Mark?
Amazon.com.
Okay, I'll link to that in the show notes as well at vftb.net. And your podcast, Prepper Recon, that is at prepperrecon.com?
That's right, prepperrecon.com. We put a new preparedness-related podcast up every Monday and Wednesday. Sunday, we try to do a little Bible study to, you know, especially if you're in a sleepy or apostate church, you're probably not getting it from the pulpit. But if you're not, you know what? You need to get out there and do the research and find somebody that's speaking the truth, because that's the real reason this nation is in the situation that it's in. We took prayer out of the school, and that went by, and we took the Bible out of school, and we've been slaughtering babies, and now we've got gay marriage on the books, and now guess what? Now we're going to jail. Christians are going to jail. So now if you're a Christian in America, you're officially a criminal now. So it's way too late. You know, the hours is at hand, and it's time to stand up and start getting involved. Start praying. You know, you asked me, you know, what can we do? Can we do, you know, is it time for a military revolution? And like I said, I don't really think that would do any good at this point. And I think that the only thing we can really do right now is pray, and pray for your pastors, and talk to your pastors. And if they're not willing to get in the fight on a spiritual level and to start calling their congregants to pray and fast and get on their knees for this nation and stand up and be ready for the persecution that's coming. If they're not ready to do that, it's time to get out and find a church that is ready to do that. And if you're in that church, then pray for your pastor, because he's coming under spiritual attack, and you know, the devil's doing everything he can to take those pastors out and get them out of the way. And more than likely, he's going to end up coming under either a financial or a criminal attack from the government, because that's it. We have been criminalized now. And if you're a Christian and you're in America, you're a criminal. So you need to start preparing and thinking like that. You need to start, if you're not in a home group, if you're not in a home fellowship, you need to get in a home fellowship right now. Because I think pretty soon that's going to be the only church you're going to have, unless you're going to Joel Osteen's church, and you're among the apostate churches that are rubber stamping and saying, okay, we're going to go right along with whatever the government says. If you're not willing to do that, then your church is probably going to end up getting closed down pretty soon. They have to go through that in the days of Noah. And that's what they do, is they have the home fellowship, but they already had that. So, you know, it was sort of a, they were able to just flow right into that. So if you're not in a home fellowship, you definitely need to get into that and start building your networking skills and start thinking like a Chinese Christian, or start thinking like a Saudi Arabia Christian or an Iranian Christian or a Afghanistan Christian, and start thinking like you're part of a persecuted church, because you are, and start moving and talking and communicating and practicing all of those skills, because this is not going to go away.
Mm. Mark Goodwin is the author of the new book, Days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition. He's also the host of the Prepper Recon podcast online at PrepperRecon.com. Mark, thanks for the tips. Thanks for the advice. And thank you for sharing the book. Really enjoy it. Available both in paperback and Kindle, by the way. And since we subscribe to Kindle Unlimited, we get a really good deal on it. Again, links to those in the show notes. And Mark, we'll talk again.
Derek, thank you so much for having me back on the show. And the audiobook should be out by October 1st.
Fantastic.
In the Days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition, a global empire arises like a phoenix from the ashes of the world that was. The emerging order is unified by a new global currency and a single world religion, which are mandated by an imposed UN treaty. In the interest of unity and peace, a zero-tolerance policy for dissenters is enacted and strictly enforced. Hunted down like common criminals for daring to resist the state, Noah Parker's group will have to rely on faith and wits to endure the powers of darkness, which are quickly consuming the earth. Buy your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition, from Amazon.com today.